washeth for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. That's how we come tonight, this afternoon, dependent and trusting in the good Lord who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I do desire, if I know my heart, to be able to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that's beneficial to you and comforting, edifying, encouraging, in a way of instruction from the Word of God, so that we might better be able to walk in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, and the very end of the chapter, the Lord teaches us there that we have a responsibility to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify God. He said in the 28th verse, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He is giving us instruction here to come to him. And he's not giving that just out in general to everyone, but to a specific people, the people that are burdened and heavy laden, the people who have a heart that's been touched by the hand of God, who've been made aware and awakened by the hand of God and the work of God of their need of the Lord. They've been made cognizant of their great need before Almighty God. And once you see your need, it's a wonderful thing to know you have a place to come to where your need can be met, and where you can be fed. The living are the ones that are hungry. The dead are not hungry. The dead can't hear. The dead can't see. The dead can't understand. The dead cannot know the things of God. But those that are born of God, those who've been quickened by the hand of God, and that's the work of God, they're the ones who have an appetite, who are hungry. That's the way we can judge today, has the Lord really dealt with us? Do you have an appetite for the things of God? Do you have a spiritual hunger? He says in one place, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fed." They shall be filled. And it's the Lord who gives us the hunger. It's the Lord who gives us the thirst. If you have a hunger and thirst for spiritual things, that's an evidence that you belong unto the Lord. And belonging to the Lord is very, very important. The world has an idea and thought that you can just choose whether you want to belong to him or not. But the Bible teaches us that the Lord, the foundation of God, stand is sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he's known them even before the foundation of the world. God foreknew his people and he loved them. And he says to his people that he loves as he's awakened them and he's given them life. And he does that by sending the Spirit of Almighty God as an anointing in your heart, quickening you from a state of death to a state of life. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, "And you hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Before he quickened us, we were dead. We didn't have a hunger for spiritual things. We didn't have a desire for spiritual things. The Bible wouldn't mean anything to us. If we read it, it would be just more like any other book. We would just be trying to acquire natural wisdom, natural understanding. And in all of our efforts, we would not come to know more about God or learn more about God As a matter of fact, we cannot know those things because they're hidden from us. He says here, even in the 25th verse of this 11th chapter, he says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." That is who our God is. He's the Lord of heaven and in earth. And Jesus is verily God. He's the Son of God. He says, "Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." Which means all of my searching, all of my seeking, which I would not really be seeking spiritual things, because until you're born spiritually, you have no spiritual appetite. You have no spiritual hunger. You have no spiritual desire. Now, this is good news if you have a desire to know more about the Lord. I don't know why you'd be here this afternoon if you didn't have some desire to know more about the Lord. I don't know why you would go through a 30-minute song service that sings glory and honor and praise to the Lord if you didn't have a desire to know about the Lord. And if you have a desire to know about the Lord, you don't need to get to meet Him to become His. It's an evidence that you already are His, because He foreknew you even before the foundation of the world. Before you ever existed, before you were ever born, before you ever had any being, He knew you as He looked down through time. He knew you. He knew everything that you would ever do. And all those things that you would do would be that which would be sufficient to separate you from Him forever had He not intervened on your behalf. And that is, I'm talking to those who love the Lord today. And if you love the Lord, why do you love the Lord? What does the Bible say about that? You love the Lord, why? Because He first loved you. You didn't start loving Him and then He loved you. His love for you has been everlasting. We haven't even been everlasting. He's been everlasting. That means He has forever been. There never was a time He was not. There never will be a time He will not be. As a matter of fact, when you talk about time and everlasting, the two things really don't fit together, because everlasting is really, you get rid of time. Time is a creation that God has given us to help us get along in this world. He made the first day and the second day and all the other days. And when the time comes that the days will be over, there will be one eternal day. We sing it this way. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And the reality is it'll be just one eternal day. I can't get my head around that, but I'm sure thankful to believe it. And if you can believe it, if you believe it, then you have to have faith that enables you to believe it, because it's by faith you understand that. And if you have faith, you have to have life, because life comes as a result of faith. Faith doesn't bring life. Life brings faith. How do we have life spiritually? God saw fit at the time He appointed for it to happen for you to come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit and quicken you and make you alive and bring you from a state of death to a state of life. And He does that in the life of every one of His children that will be born in this world, that will live in this world, and will live with Him in glory. And God knew who His children were before the very foundation of the world. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Now that calling is an effectual calling. He didn't use preachers to do that. He didn't put such an important task in the hands of such puny, feeble men. The task of calling out His children from death to life, He put in the hands, the capable hands of the Spirit of Almighty God. And in a sense, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He says in John 5 and 25, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Which means the dead in trespasses and in sins, which we all were. How did we get in that shape? Well, we were born in that shape, and then we continued to be in that shape by our own behaviors. Sometimes we like to blame Adam for it and say, well, Adam caused the problem. Adam blamed Eve for it. And, you know, and really blame God who gave him Eve for it. And that's what man has been doing all along. And that's where we would have remained That's what we would have done had it not been for God who arrested us, arrested you. If you love the Lord today, it's because He arrested you from the state that you were in and gave you life, and He turned you about, and then He gave you a want to, and He gave you an ability to serve Him and to live for Him and to come to Him and lean upon Him and trust in Him and depend upon Him. You don't trust in Him to become His. You trust in Him because you are His. And the reason you're able to trust is He gives you faith. And if you have faith, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And you have love, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have any other love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, all the fruit of the Spirit can only come if you're born of the Spirit. And you're born of the Spirit just like the wind blows outside. None of us have any control over that, do we? Which of us can go outside and say, "Wind, don't blow on me"? Not one of us. And which of us can say, "Wind, blow over here, but don't blow over there"? But I'll tell you who does control the wind. And He can show you that real quick. Is when He sees fit to blow His wind, I'm telling you, whatever it's going to blow on, it's going to move. And even though men might say it's wind resistant, wind proof, it's not wind proof with Him. Because the one we're talking about is the one who works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" It isn't. He isn't a God who asks my permission. He isn't a God who asks your permission. He isn't a God who stands and knocks at a heart's door and say, "Please let me come in and give you life." But somebody says, "Well, what about the book of Revelation? Doesn't it say, 'Behold, I stand at the door and knock'?" But listen, read that carefully. That's not the dead alien sinner's heart He's standing at. It's a church door He's standing at. As we met this afternoon, if we take for granted for 1 minute that we can just come in because we came in the last time, and He'll sit with us and feast with us and feed us like He did the last time, and we become like Samson and think we can just do it any old time I want to. You know, Samson thought, "I can just turn the power on when I want to. And when they rise up and come against me, I'll just whip them like I always did." Sometimes we start taking things for granted, don't we? And think we can just get God anytime we want to and have communion with Him and have fellowship with Him and be able to commune with Him. And yes, there are promises given in God's Word, but He said for us to beg, and He said for us to plead, "Lord, come, be with us. Lord, supply what we need. Have you prayed for the meeting? Have you prayed when we come? Are we looking for Jesus to come and sit with us and feed us?" He said He would come as we keep His commandments and we love Him. He said, "I'll come unto you and that I'll come and feed you." He'll give us green pastures and still waters. He'll restore our soul. He'll supply just what we need. Brethren, let's not take Him for granted. And let's also always remember that if I have in any way walked in a way to please Him, is because He first worked a work of grace in me that I could not do by myself. Not only could not do it, I wouldn't do it. Because even if I had known God and been able to see that He was God, my pride in my nature, you say, "Who are you talking to, preacher?" I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to you, dear one. The prideful nature with which we were born would never cause us or allow us to admit that God is God and we're not, because we are egotistical. We are self-centered. We are self-serving. There is man by nature is not a pretty picture. If you take Romans 3 and you read it, and you lay out the details there, you'll see there's no fear of God before His eyes. His hands are swift to His feet are swift to shed blood. His tongue is full of deceit. The poison of asp are under His lips. There's not one good part of man that's good or right on his own. And to say that man could just then turn and start doing good is an impossibility. There has to be a work that takes place. There has to be a change. And if you love the Lord today, then the change has happened for you. I don't know when it happened. You may not know when it happened. Somebody said, "How could you be born again and not know when it happened?" Well, I got born the first time, and I don't know when it happened. I don't know a lot about it. I know it must have happened. Why? Because I'm here. I know I'm eating, I'm breathing, I'm alive. And I don't remember. They tell me that, you know, it was on September the 19th, 1954, but I couldn't prove that by saying, was I there? Yes, but how much did I know about it? I was a baby. I didn't know anything about that. I don't know when the Lord first started dealing with me in my heart. I don't know when that first happened. I don't know when I was awakened from death to life. But I know there came a time when I wanted to be. There came a time that I wanted to love Him. There came a time that I felt I needed Him. There came a time that I knew that I was a sinner and I was lost and undone. And when I heard the preaching, it reached my heart. I felt it in my heart. I knew that if I didn't have someone intervening on my behalf, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all I could expect at the end of time to hear is, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And I knew I didn't want that. And not only did I not want to be there, I wanted to be somewhere. You see, some people just seem to want to be, they don't want hell, and who would? But they're not really that interested in heaven. I believe you're interested in heaven. You know why you're interested in heaven? Because the Lord fell in. The Lord loved you a long time ago. And then He worked in your heart love for Him so that you can love Him back. And oh, it's good to love Him back. And then He did something else. He gave us love to love one another so that we can love one another, so that we can love our neighbor, we can love our enemies, we can live in a way to honor and glorify God. We can live forgiving others, and we don't have to be so bitter. We don't have to be so divided. We don't have to be so full of hate. We don't have to be all those things that we would be by nature. And what we are by nature, and you and I still have that old flesh tugging at us, don't we? You got it right now in the pew. I got it right up here in the pulpit. You said we thought, well, can't we get rid of that? Well, you'll get rid of it one day, but that day's not going to be right now. It's not God's will that we get rid of it right now, but it is His will that we be overcomers. What does that mean? That means I got to come to Jesus. I got to trust in Him. I don't come to Him like the world talks about it to get life. I come to Him because I've been given life, but I come to Him to live. I come to Him to have the strength to do what I need to do and act the way I need to act and behave the way I need to behave. I need to know when it is I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut. Do you need to know that too? I need to know when it's time to speak up. I need Him to guide me. I need to have a place to come when my children are in trouble that I can come to and lean upon a Lord who's able to do what I can't do. I need someone to help me in the storms when I've lost a loved one, or when my heart is broken, or when the things don't go right, when this goes one way or that goes another way and I get in the storms of life. I need someone to help me in this world. And the reason I know there's someone there is because He awakened me at some point by His grace. I was born of His Spirit. He spoke life. He came to me and said, live. And I was dead. He made me alive. And then He said, go, come unto me. Who? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And at that time, he answered and said, verse 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He's allowed us to see as little babes. Somebody might ask, well, when am I going to grow up? Well, as long as you're here in this world, you're going to be one of His little babes. You're supposed to come today as newborn babes. It tells us in the New Testament, desiring what? The sincere milk of the Word. That you may what? Grow thereby. Now, I know there's a sense we're supposed to mature. There's a sense we're supposed to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, and we're to have these things in us and abound, that we may not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and we're to grow. But even when we get grown, we're still in the sight of God just little babes. Remember when the disciples started asking questions? When we start thinking like this, we need the same lesson. Which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Which one of us is going to have the highest position? Which one of us is going to have the highest seat? Remember what he taught. He said, he that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And what did he do? What did he do? He went and got that little baby and put that little baby right in the midst of them. And he said, unless you become like a little baby, you shall not enter the kingdom. In other words, if we're going to enjoy fellowship with him this afternoon, we're going to be like little babies saying, Lord, please come and feed us. Lord, help our preacher preach. Help him teach the gospel. Help him be faithful to the word. And Lord, keep him humble. As an old preacher told me a long time ago, down in Louisiana, he said, if your head gets real big, don't worry about it. The Lord's a good head popper. He said, he'll pop your head. He'll bring it down to the right size. I've found that to be the case. I've had situations at times where you felt like the Lord's been so good to you, I almost get excited in an effort to preach, and they feel like the Lord's really been good to you. And you say, well, I can't hardly get to the next place. And I remember Brother Randy Dillon saying one time he got in a place like that and he couldn't remember the scripture. Jesus wept. He said his mind just went. You know, the Lord doesn't share his glory with anyone, does he? I'm telling you, if we're able to ever preach the gospel, it's by the grace of God that we're ever able to preach it. If you're able to hear it this afternoon, if it means anything to you, if it's touched a chord in your heart, I've got good news for you. Heaven's going to be your home. He has a place prepared for you. And if it were not so, he would have told us. He's prepared that place for us. And one day we're going to be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And while we're here in this world, he will be there for us throughout every trial and trouble and situation and circumstance. He says he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and he's revealed them unto babes. And why? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know why God does what he does? Because he wants to. And it's right. Our God is just and right. Just and right is he in everything that he does. He made choice of his people. Somebody said, would that be just? Absolutely. What God sees fit to do, God has a perfect right to do. Because he's a sovereign, almighty, all-powerful God. He's God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. The Father gave the Son the charge of what to do. When the Son came in this world, from the day he was born, every step that he took, every word that he spoke, every action that he made was ordered and given to him by the Father. It was a necessary walk, a necessary talk, a necessary behavior. He was never outside of the will of the Father. He was in perfect obedience. He kept the ceremonial law without one spot or blemish. He kept the moral law without one spot or blemish. He was perfect when he was born. He did not have the taint of sin on him because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin, and he came forth the pure, unspotted, unblemished Son of God. And then he lived his life perfectly. And he endured everything that was necessary. He was in all points tempted like unto you and I. The only difference between what he was tempted with and what we were tempted with, we submitted to many, if not most, if not all of those in some degree, and he didn't submit to one of them. When Jesus died on the cross, he was a perfect sacrifice. When he offered himself, he didn't offer himself to the world. He offered himself unto the Father. And the Father was pleased with the sacrifice. It was a sweet-smelling savor. It pictured all the Old Testament sacrifices that had been offered and the way that they were offered under the old law covenant. It pointed to what Jesus did when he came and died on the cross. And when he died there on the cross and he paid that sin debt, the sins of God's people were taken off of them. Who are they? That's all of his children. It was taken off of you. It was taken off of me. And it was placed upon him. And there at Calvary, the sun refused to shine for a period of time, and the wrath of God was poured out on his only begotten son, and he endured our hell on the tree of the cross there and paid that sin debt in full. Then in his dying moments he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. That's something you and I don't off of that. We don't say, okay, you know, this is my... We don't... In other words, it's going to be taken from us. We're going to go scratching and kicking. But he freely... He laid down his life. He had the power to lay it down and he had the power to take it up again. He freely gave that life. Why? Because we needed a washing and a payment to be made for us that we could not make. And Jesus, as we sing, paid it all. And all to him I owe. He says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Do you know the Lord today? If you do, it's because the Lord has revealed himself to you. It isn't because the preacher got to you and told you about it. Yes, the preacher can tell you and talk to you about it. And he can be a benefit. And there's something that the ministry are to do. We're to preach the word. We're to tell God's children. We're to comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That's what I've been trying to say. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. And you have received from the Lord's hand double for all of your sins. What does that mean? You have forgiveness in him. And not only have you forgiveness in him, you have righteousness given to you in him, so that when he looks down upon us today, this is amazing to think about, when he looks down upon us today, he looks through the blood of Jesus and he sees us as unspotted as if we had not sinned, because we're justified through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God has anything to do with you and me. It's through the blood of Jesus. Doesn't that sound good that he would do that for us? Doesn't it sound good that he didn't just try to do it and leave part of it to you, but that he did it and that he finished it? Doesn't it sound good that when he ascended back unto heaven, we've got proof that he had satisfied the will of the Father and he was ushered into glory? Can you imagine what a procession that was when the Son of God ascended back unto the Father and the angels in chorus were singing and all of God's little children that were there sees him, and he comes and he sits down. He comes and he takes a seat as our great high priest making intercession for us on the right hand of the Father, and he sits there today so that when you and I pray, when dear brother Jay prays from his heart, listen, those words don't come out of a man just in his, of himself. It comes by the grace of Almighty God. And they're not heard in heaven because of what Brother Jay did or any other man did, but because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross, so that he can petition the Lord on our behalf and we can ask and receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. And that's proof positive every single time. Now why is that? Because we got it right? No, because he got it right. Because we don't have any iniquity. Listen, the Bible says if the Lord should mark iniquity, who shall stand? If he would hold one thing against us, who would stand? This poor man cried, not a powerful man, not a righteous man, not a holy man. Righteous, yes, only in one way. It's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And that means you and I can call upon Him this afternoon and as many afternoons as we have and left in this world, and each and every day look to the Lord, lean upon Him and trust in Him. And because of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely, goodness and mercy. That's truly, surely, truly, goodness, grace, favor, highly favored, and mercy, God's mercy shown to us, shall follow me. Why would it follow me? Because Jesus died for me. Why would it follow me? Because He gave it to me. Why would it follow me? Because His mercy endureth forever. Why would it follow me? Because of grace and favor. Not because of what I did for Him, but because of what He did for me. And in turn, I ought to be about my Father's business in trying to grow as close to Him as I can. Draw nigh to Him. And He says, if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. But if we are able to do it, it's because He worked in the will and the do, so that all the glory belongs where? Not me and God, but God. God alone. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Are you burdened this evening? I know you got some things troubling you. Things you haven't told anybody. But the Lord already knows. You know the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord, the Word of God is what? Quick, alive, and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And there's nothing. All things are naked and open before Him with whom, and I love this, with whom you have to do. You see, you can get by. I can get by sharing. It may have to be sneaky a little bit and get around in this, but I can get by, you know. I can get by. But don't get by the Lord. I can even get by myself. Fool myself. But I won't get by the Lord. All things are naked and open. He knows what's going on with every one of us this afternoon. That's how personal He deals with us. He knows where our heart is. He knows where it's been. He knows where it will be. Before that scares you to death, remember, if the Lord should mark iniquities, who's going to stand? Not one. Not one. The good news is Jesus said it's finished. That means what I deserve, I'm not going to get. I've used this before, but Ronnie wasn't around when I used it. I said, I don't ever remember a time when he needed a whipping that I stood up and said, all right, I'll take it for him. I did it. I can remember a few times I phoned and said, he did it when I done done it. And he'll say amen to that, I'm sure. But you know, our Savior said, I'll take the pain. I'll pay the price. I love them that much. I'll endure. And listen, what He endured on the cross would be for you and me an eternity. Get this for a moment. An eternity of eternal destruction forever and ever. He, as the Son of God, was able to handle that and pay for that on the cross and paid for it in full. Not one stripe was held from Him. Not God would be unjust if there wasn't a full payment for every sin. And He paid that price. Now, the idea and the thought that says He did it for everybody, but some are still going to have to suffer hell, is, can you see the fallacy in that? If Jesus paid the price, will any of the price that He paid have to be paid again? Would God be just in saying, I'm going to pour it out on them anyway, even though Jesus paid for it, because they didn't do their part, I'm going to pour it out on them anyway. That can't be true. You know what is true? The price He paid was for His children only. That is His elect family. Now I want you to get the full picture of this. His elect family isn't this little band of believers that have gathered right here. Oh, He's got a lot more family than that. You say, how do you know that? Because He's the firstborn of many brethren. We just got a few here today. Wish we had a few more, but I'm thankful for the few that we have. But listen, if this was all the family of God, there would just be a few brethren. And there are only a few, a little flock that's going to understand and know the beauty of the kingdom and the fellowship with God here in this world. But His people are a people out of every nation, out of every kindred. You get this number. Out of every people, out of every tongue. And they are innumerable as the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore. They're not everybody, but they're a whole lot. Now, God doesn't owe us anything. But thanks be to God, He has shown us favor and He's shown us grace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will, why? Because of Jesus, dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Y'all believe that? You know how you can believe it? Because you have faith. You know how you have faith? Because you have life. You know how you got life? The wind blew on you. You didn't do it. You didn't cause it. He blew the wind of His grace in your life. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Not might, not maybe, not if you would, they shall. I believe He did that, don't you? And the reason I can believe it is because He gave me faith, enabling me to believe it. And I want you to believe it. Because in believing that, we've got some joy and some rest and some peace. You don't sit there worrying that I'm just going to mess it. Have you ever thought about it? In this world, I always worry, am I going to mess this up? You know, you get in the middle of it and you say, am I going to mess this up? And most of the time, if I look at it close enough, I did. I do. I mess it up somehow. I have to say one word too much. Or I have to do one thing too much. Or even, you know, I don't do enough. Isn't it wonderful to know what Jesus did? We sang it. He has done all things well. You can't add to it. And you can't take from it. We can just simply thank Him for what He's done. He said, verse 28, Matthew 11, didn't think this was my text, but I guess it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Find rest in coming to Jesus and resting in His work. You believe what He did? Rest in it. You believe He forgave you? Rest in it. When you feel conviction, somebody said, won't this cause you just to want to live any old way? No, I'll tell you what it'll cause you to do. You want to live closer to Him. You don't want to mess up. And He says, take my yoke upon you. That means learn what He says in His word. Wear it, live it, walk it, talk it, believe it. Draw close to Him, not in order to merit anything, but because He's already been gracious. Surely goodness and mercy is following me. So I am to take His yoke upon you. And by the way, when you're yoked up with Jesus, you're not in the yoke alone. Who's walking by you? Who's carrying the load? Who's carrying the burden? Not us, but the one we're yoked with. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what we're doing at church. We're learning of Him. That's why we come, to learn of Him, so that we know better how to live. And His word provides that for us. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, the given rest is given in your heart, but then you find rest as you live your life in alignment with His word. You find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to leave you with one verse over in John 14. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments, that's God's children, that has His commandments, John 14, 21, and keepeth them. There's a reason to keep His commandments. He it is that loveth me. In other words, if you really love the Lord, you don't say, I just love Him, but then live any old way. You love Him to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. That sounds like you love Him before He loved you, but we know that's not correct because He tells us over in 1 John we love Him because He first loved us. So what does this mean? He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. That means you'll feel his love. That's a big difference, isn't it? You'll know he loves you. You'll feel that he loves you. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. When we love him, we feel his love. We feel him embrace us. We feel the touch of his gentle hand. We feel his everlasting arm. We feel his help and his strength. He says, he shall be loved of my Father. God will manifest his love. He tells us that in a minute. He says, and I will love him. In other words, the Father will love him, love you, and then Jesus will love you. Well, Jesus has always loved you. You know, he's never been a time he didn't love you. Jesus is the same, right, all the time? Which means if he's ever loved you, he's always loved you. So here he says, but I will love him. What does that mean? I'll feel his love. Isn't it good to feel the Father's love? It's good to feel loved anywhere. But it's really good to feel the love of God in your life. And it's really good to feel the love of the Son in your life. And to have the Spirit of God, have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Spirit of God. It's wonderful. And we feel that also when we love the brethren. That's why it's so good to love the brethren. He says, and I will love him, and get this, and will manifest myself to him. And then go down to verse, and then verse 22 says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is the other disciple, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That word right there, abode, is the exact same word that says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Same word. The abode is the place where we have fellowship with the Lord. And when you and I have fellowship with the Lord, I'm telling you where you are, you're happy. And when you're not in that fellowship, you don't have that rest and that peace. I appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. If there's been anything of any benefit, give the Lord the praise. Thank the Lord for each of you. God bless you. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Thank you.